We are on the campaign trail once again this hour, and we'll discuss the latest news in the race for Wisconsin governor. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July 24th. Every week at this time, we examine issues making news on the campaign trail in Wisconsin leading up to Election Day. And alert listeners know that every Thursday at this time from 7 until 8, we will discuss the latest issues on the campaign trail and keep you informed about the issues involved with Election 2014. Today, we welcome in political analyst and pollster Charles Franklin to discuss the latest Marquette University poll, which shows the race for governor in a dead heat. And we will welcome your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette University Law School Poll, a professor of law and public policy, co-founder of pollster.com, and founder of pollsandvotes.com. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Well, so looks like these results are similar to the results we talked about a couple of months ago.
That's right. Our May poll showed a tie, 46-46. These results are right in the ballpark with that. Among registered voters, it's Walker at 46, Burke at 45, also a dead heat, well within the 3%, 3.5% margin of error. But among likely voters, those most likely to go to the polls in November, it's Burke 47, Walker 46. In May, Walker had a 3-point advantage, 48-45. Among likely voters, but that too was inside the margin of error. So I think the main message here is these results were too close to call in May, and they're exactly as too close to call here in July. It's kind of remarkable that we went 2 months with very little changing in the race, and both candidates really running straight at a dead heat.
Yeah, wow. It is a close one. What about, why is it so close?
You know, there are a couple of reasons that are going on. The first is that both parties are so locked into support for their candidate that there's almost no crossover voting. Republicans are going 93% for Walker. Democrats are going 88% for Burke. Since both parties are roughly the same size, that means that both candidates enjoy a very solid base of support with less than 10% defecting from their party. So that in itself means that both of them come into the race with a pretty solid foundation and a roughly equal race. Then the question is, where are independents and how are they moving? And in this month's poll, we see a tie among independents, 45% for Walker, 44% for Burke. That is a little bit of movement. 2 months ago in the May poll, Walker had a bit of a lead on that, 49-40 over Burke. So there seems to have been a little bit of movement among that independent group. Mm-hmm. But as it moved, there were countervailing moves, so the net effect was not really to shift the election, but to maintain this very close status quo that we saw 2 months ago.
But those independent voters are the ones who are going to determine the outcome of this race.
As long as both parties are about equal in size and are so unwavering in their support of their candidate, then each side gets up to about 45% of the vote that they can count on. Where does the last 10% come from? It certainly can come from independents. Some independents lean towards one party or another, and relatively few independents are truly unattached to a party. But it doesn't take more than that last 10% to tip the race one way or another. On the other hand, you could argue that there's a turnout story here as an alternative, that if the race is that close, and there are relatively few independents, and they're pretty balanced, then all of the effort goes into turning out a few more of your voters, those core voters of yours, and getting them to the polls. Traditionally, historically, midterm elections have substantially lower turnout. For example, in 2010, when Governor Walker was elected, 2.1 million Wisconsin voters went to the polls. But in November of 2012, the presidential election, it was 3 million. So that is a 900,000 vote difference, almost a third of the electorate that did not show up for the last midterm. Surely both parties are very concentrated on that fact. And if they can count on their base being completely loyal, then the real effort goes into getting those loyalists to the polls rather than trying to chase down a persuadable 10% of the electorate, the independents. So the point here is there's a tension between a big effort to just mobilize your base because you can count on them voting for you, but you can't necessarily count on them getting to the polls this time.
Yeah. So if you're writing the lead for your for the poll, Charles Franklin, what is it?
Still a dead heat, mm-hmm. Capturing the idea that it didn't change and that it's that close. You know, the interesting thing was we showed a Walker advantage by 6 in January and by 7 in March. The big shift was March to May that went from a 7-point lead to a dead tie. I think the interesting question was that May survey just a fluke? Was it too Democratic? Was it circumstances that weren't going to be lasting? So it's very interesting to see 2 months later a separate poll comes back with the same results. And so it does pretty strongly argue that this race really is this competitive, at least for now.
Yeah. Well, the a couple of other demographic breakdowns. Walker leads among men, Burke among women, Walker leads among married couples. How do you read this?
Yeah. A lot of this is normal in the sense that we always have a gender gap. That's not a mm-hmm. surprise. But there's been an awful lot of discussion, especially in the national media, about how important unmarried women in particular are as a demographic subgroup for the results. And that's worth taking a minute to just zero in on, because unmarried women are remarkably strongly Burke supporters. 60% of unmarried women are going with Burke, just 23% are going with Walker. So you ask yourself, well, unmarried people generally tend to most often be younger people. Maybe it's just a function of age. But if you switch and look at women who are widowed or divorced or separated, a considerably older group on average, they go for Burke 55 to 34. Not quite as strong, but still showing a really substantial preference among unmarried women. In contrast, if you go to married women, they go with Walker, 49 to 42. So marital status really does seem to make a difference in people's political preferences, but the gender gap is quite strong. Finally, if you look at married men, they're the most pro-Walker group in this set, 60% of married men going for Walker, 34% for Burke. So the bookends here are married men, the most strongly pro-Walker group, unmarried women, whether they're never married or if they are single for other reasons, very strong Burke supporters.
We will break down further the latest Marquette University Law School poll with the director of the poll, Charles Franklin, and we'll welcome your reactions to this poll showing that Governor Walker and Mary Burke are still in a dead heat in the race for governor. We'll also talk about some of the other issues that are shaping the vote in 2014, and welcome your questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And you can answer this question too. Who would you vote for if the election were today, and why? That's between Governor Walker and Mary Burke here on the Ideas Network. Well, the results from the latest Marquette University Law School poll are out, and they show a very tight race for governor in Wisconsin. We are talking about the results, how the vote is breaking down, and the issues shaping it during this edition of On the Campaign Trail. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll and a professor of law and public policy. We're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Your reaction to the poll showing a dead heat in the race for governor. Your thoughts on the most important issues in the race for governor. We do have a Facebook comment from Mary Charles Franklin, who says, "I'm amazed that the governor lost 5 points among independents from the May poll to this poll. He turned a 9-point advantage into a 1-point advantage. That's a huge drop in a crucial demographic." Well, we touched on that, but a response to that?
Yeah, it's one of the striking changes. You know, you do have to be cautious. Independents are about 40% of the sample. So the margin of error is bigger for those. So I wouldn't make too much of it. But on the other hand, substantively, winning independents is seen as a critical element of anyone's campaign coalition. So seeing that shrink from a 9 to a 1-point advantage is, I think, quite striking and notable.
I also saw an advocacy group that advocates for younger people, millennials, pointing out that Mary Burke had a big lead among young, or at least younger voters. How did that break down?
That's right. And it is pretty substantial. Among 18 to 29-year-olds, Burke led 48 to 35, so a 15-point advantage there. Interestingly, other age groups don't show much of a trend. It's a 46-46 tie among 30-somethings. It's Walker's best advantage, 51 to Burke, 42, among people in their 40s and 50s. But then it's tied again, 45-46, among people 60 and over. So the one age group with a really substantial difference is the 18 to 29s, though those 45 to 59 tilt significantly, but not quite as strongly for Walker. The issue with those 18 to 29-year-olds, though, is really one of campaign get-out-the-vote strategy and efforts, because younger voters turn out at lower rates than older voters. 18 to 29-year-olds, in part because they're mobile, they're establishing careers and families are busy with other things, have the lowest turnout rates of anyone, and tend to drop out the most as we go from a presidential exciting race to a less exciting midterm race. So the question will be, do the parties, and in this case particularly the Democratic Party, focus on those 18 to 29-year-olds and successfully exploit that advantage, or do they see that numerical advantage in Burke's support get withered away by low turnout among 20-somethings.
Your poll also found support for repealing the state's gay marriage ban. Mary Burke backs the repeal. Governor Walker, meanwhile, is appealing a federal judge's ruling that struck it down. How big are social issues like marriage equality going to be in November?
Yeah, the gap between the positions is pretty strong. We showed 56% supporting repeal of the ban. It had been 59% in March before a court ruled striking down the ban here. So support in the high 50s, I think, is still pretty striking. And opposition to preference for keeping the ban as it stands in the upper 30s. So that's a pretty big gap. Governor Walker has gone to some effort to avoid taking a position on it, saying his opinion doesn't matter, though he's also said he supported the ban and his position hasn't changed. He's not emphasizing the issue. I think this is an issue that we see a really strong generational difference on, though it's fair to say that generational difference has been declining a bit. Older voters are coming around to the view in support of same-sex marriage as well. In the end, will the Burke campaign decide that that is an issue they want to campaign on and that they believe will mobilize voters for, or the other kinds of debates about jobs and employment and now outsourcing of jobs, will those economic bread and butter issues come back in the end to be the core? A lot of that depends on how the campaigns choose to choose the issues they want to emphasize.
Yeah, coming up in our next half hour after the news, I do want to talk about the outsourcing issue a little bit more and play some of the latest ads in the race for governor from Governor Walker going after Mary Burke and Mary Burke's response. But I also wanted to ask another poll-related question. How are we feeling about the John Doe investigation?
Well, the first thing is we're very aware of it. 75% say that they've heard or read something about the Doe investigation. And that's right in line with the first Doe investigation back in 2012 when we asked, about that investigation. 76% had heard about it. So both investigations have penetrated public awareness and, we see similar attitudes towards it. But in this month's poll, we followed that with the question to those who had heard something. Is this just more politics or is it really something serious? And this time, 54% said it's just more politics. 42% said it's something really serious. So on balance, a small majority are going with just politics. In contrast, in 2012, when we asked about it, 46 said it was just politics, but 45 said it was something serious, an even split. In recent months, as the court has opened records in the case, we've seen more efforts by politicians and Governor Walker directly to say that this is a partisan-inspired thing, that it is just more politics. And you see voters in this case following that lead to a greater extent than they did with the first John Doe, where that kind of rhetoric was largely absent.
We have a call from Maddie in Wapaka that we'll take. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. I wish Mary Burke's campaign would talk more about the environment. I feel that the mine issue up north will be devastating to the tourist industry up north and could severely damage the lakes and rivers and Lake Superior, not to mention, the wild rice for the tribes up there. And I just wish she would have more in her campaign about the environment.
All right. Thanks, Maddie. But do you have any thoughts on that, Charles Franklin?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question that the environment has not been a stronger component of the campaign so far. That could change. You cite the mine, the iron mine, but also frac sand mining and its transportation is an area of some concern. Lakes and waters, of course, are always a perennial issue. And ownership of public lands and the management of that, the wolf hunt, for example, are all areas where there's some pretty sharp differences between the parties in how they see responsible management of the environment. One could imagine that becoming a point of contention between them. But so far, I don't see either candidate putting a lot of attention to those issues.
Yeah. Before we go to news and after news, we'll talk about the job outsourcing ads, the dueling ads. Let me ask you, Charles Franklin, about some speculation from various advocacy groups thinking that Governor Walker released his attack ad, I guess, against Mary Burke, in part, some said, to influence the Marquette University Law School poll, which was, I guess, in the field at the time.
Right. Well, I think if they're trying to influence the poll rather than influencing voters, their attention is in the wrong place. We have always announced since we first started doing the poll, 7 days to 10 days before a release, we've put an announcement up on our website. So in the whole history of the poll, both sides anybody that's interested can always know a week or so in advance. And so the point of being public and open about it is so everybody can know that. But I think the more important point is that it's very hard to change public opinion on a dime in the short term. It takes a long time for an ad campaign to sink in with the public. The most involved voters know about it quickly, but the public as large takes a while to affect. So it doesn't change on a dime is the real point.
Yeah, well, we will talk more about those ads. We'll talk more about the issue of outsourcing jobs and other issues that are on the campaign trail, especially in the race for governor. Talking with Marquette University Law School poll director Charles Franklin, and we're welcoming your questions for him about the poll and about the issues shaping our vote. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In the newest Marquette University Law School poll, Governor Scott Walker and his likely Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, are still tied. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the latest poll results. We're talking about the issues shaping the vote, and we are welcoming your reactions and your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Charles Franklin is our guest, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll, a professor of law and public policy as well, co-founder of pollster.com and the founder of pollsandvotes.com. Well, I wanted to talk about this issue of outsourcing jobs that has become a hot one on the campaign trail. But first, Charles Franklin, what does the poll say about the issue of jobs and job creation in Wisconsin?
Right. Well, jobs, of course, has been a central focus of the Walker administration's rhetoric and of the Democratic criticism of him. We have asked in the past whether voters think we'll get to 250,000 jobs. But the last time we asked it, 80% said we would not get there. The time before that, 79% said we would not get there. So we did not repeat that question. It seems there's a pretty strong consensus that we'll fall short of that promise. On the other hand, we have focused on the issue of, are we creating jobs in Wisconsin faster than other states, about the same, or are we lagging behind other states? And there the results this time are 9% who think we're creating jobs faster, 42% about the same, and 43% lagging behind. Now, the latest reliable economic data shows that we rank about 37th in the country for job creation. So that's the towards the upper end of the bottom third, if you want to think about it that way. I think that's high enough that people who want to see good job growth can see us as about the same, though it is certainly below the middle, which would be 25th, of course. So there is a substantial but still a minority that see us lagging behind, despite that consistent ranking in the mid-30s. We've seen variation over the last year and a half, where as high as 49% thought we were lagging, as low as 40% thought we were lagging. So right now at 43%, we're in the middle of that, a little to the lower end of it. But yeah, it's been fairly stable. It was 43% that said we were lagging in May, before the latest job numbers came out showing that last year, 2013, was the lowest aggregate job growth in the last 3 years.
Yeah, and though Democratic-leaning groups have been pounding away on Wisconsin is lagging behind our neighbors, and Wisconsin is 10 out of 10 of the 10 Midwestern states. That's not sinking in, apparently.
Well, I think what's going on is that Republicans don't want to accept that argument. You want to defend your side, and the question is, what can you see about the jobs picture to support that notion? Democrats, on the other hand, want to see this mediocre, at best, performance in objective counts of jobs as signs of a disastrous performance. So partisan lenses here shape what we see, even when we're looking at something where there's pretty hard data about the jobs creation performance. And I think the question it raises is, how powerful can this issue be if we see things the way we want to? The one striking thing is there's about a 20-point difference among Republicans for those who see us keeping up versus lagging behind. There's also about a 20-point difference among Democrats. Democrats who see us at least keeping up are 20 points more approving of Governor Walker than those who think we're lagging behind. And for independents, it's even a little bigger. It's more like 35%. So this is an issue that, when perceptions differ, we do see a pretty substantial shift in preference or approval of the governor, at least. But the attitude seemed to be pretty resistant to change, and despite the efforts of both sides to convince people.
Well, the issue on the front burner this week is outsourcing, with Governor Scott Walker accusing Mary Burke of sending jobs to China when she was with Trek Bicycle. Here's the TV ad that he rolled out most recently.
Mary Burke is trying to sell us on her experience at her family business, but she forgot to mention that they make 99% of their bikes overseas in places like China, where her company has outsourced jobs for years. Yet, while Burke's company makes almost all their bikes overseas, taxpayers have had to foot the bill to retrain the Wisconsin workers who lost their jobs here. Mary Burke, job creator? Not so much.
All right, so why do you suppose Governor Walker is focusing on this issue?
Well, he repeatedly says that this is because it reveals the hypocrisy of the Burke campaign. To talk about the governor's agency, WEDC, having given state grants to or support to companies that move jobs out of state, and that Burke can't criticize the governor's administration for supporting companies that outsource without acknowledging that her family company is involved in outsourcing, or at least that's the story here. You know, it's an interesting twist, because outsourcing is usually something that's seen by business groups as a positive strategy for companies to be competitive in the marketplace. So I'm curious what the Chamber of Commerce, what Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, usually a supporter of the governor, what's their position on outsourcing? What's the governor's position on outsourcing? Does he really disagree with his business group supporters on the importance of companies being able to locate manufacturing where it's economically sensible? Normally, that's the Republican argument. So, and in fact, the Wall Street Journal took Governor Walker to task over this, saying that he was channeling Barack Obama's critique of Mitt Romney during the campaign. So this is an issue that resonates with working voters who are concerned that they might lose their jobs to outsourcing or to company restructuring. So the appeal of the issue is very clear. It's more often one used by Democrats rather than Republicans. And I think you've seen in the last few days a little bit of the tension when the Wall Street Journal criticizes Governor Walker for pursuing this issue. The governor has had to deal with the question of how can he criticize Mary Burke, but then simultaneously say he's not criticizing outsourcing. Well, if he's not criticizing outsourcing, does that mean he's supporting outsourcing? So it's a complicated issue. Now, to turn it around, there's a problem for Mary Burke here as well. Senator Tammy Baldwin this week has been pushing her support for insourcing legislation that would give tax breaks to companies to bring jobs back into the country. And so you have a Democratic senator pursuing a strong critique of outsourcing. And Mary Burke has the difficulty of the company Trek does manufacture most of its bicycles, the vast majority of its bicycles in China, though it also has some manufacturing still in the U.S. They say they manufacture more than other bicycle companies in the U.S., but it's a small part of total production. So the point here is simply businesses and outsourcing is a fact of life in the American economy. Making it a political issue always runs into some difficulties of appealing to your base supporters, but also acknowledging those financial realities. I think in this issue, honestly, we see both parties a little caught up in this, being a little bit on the wrong foot for their arguments on both sides.
Well, in the spirit of equal time, and on the other hand, you mentioned this, but Mary Burke is hitting back and criticizing Walker for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, or WEDIC, giving money to companies that also outsource jobs. She referred to that in her most recent TV ad that hit the airwaves. Let's take a listen to that.
Scott Walker's fairy tale ad, an outrageous attack on a great Wisconsin company. The real story? Mary Burke helped build Trek into a company where almost 1,000 Wisconsin people go to work every day, making more bikes in the U.S. than anyone. It's Walker's agency that gave millions in tax breaks to companies that relocated jobs overseas. Another reason Wisconsin's dead last in Midwest job growth. Scott Walker. Fairy tale ads. Fairy tale promises on jobs.
Do you suspect that this issue is? Have we heard the last fairy tale here? Or are we, is this going to have legs throughout the rest of the campaign?
I'm pretty sure various fairy tales will persist, whether on these or other topics. You know, I do think this hits close to home for a lot of workers who've seen their jobs either moved or seen the threat of moving the jobs elsewhere be used as a lever to reduce pay or benefits or other kinds of things. So this is an extremely real concern. And again, that's why both sides try to find a way to exploit it or use it to their advantage. I'm not sure that it enlightens us very much about what the best policies are, but that's really a question for the campaigns to figure out. How can they frame these issues in ways that appeal to voters and that undermine their opponents? Here, the other striking thing is both of these are negative ads. And, you know, we've seen a couple of initial positive ads from each campaign. But recently, we've seen primarily negative ads. And for the first time, a back and forth between the two candidates directly responding to the other's ads. There was a little bit of that in the spring, but it didn't get kind of ramped up. Now it looks like both campaigns are ready for the sprint to November, or maybe it's a little longer than a sprint, but in any case, the run to November with full-fledged campaigns and advertising to back that up.
Well, let's ask listeners, how important is this whole outsourcing of jobs issue to you? Do you think Governor Walker was right or wrong to attack Burke about Trek's outsourcing? Do you think Burke has done a good job of defending herself? What other issues are most important to you in the race for governor? And how surprised are you or not that this race for governor is in a dead heat? The latest Marquette University Law School poll is out. We are talking with the poll's director, Charles Franklin, and welcoming your questions and your views. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are on the campaign trail once again this hour, discussing the latest news in the race for governor in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Charles Franklin about the latest Marquette University Law School poll, which shows the race for governor tied, essentially, between Governor Scott Walker and his likely Democratic challenger, Mary Burke. And we're also talking about the issues that are shaping the vote in Wisconsin. Seeing how the vote is breaking down, the issues that are shaping it, from job creation, gay marriage, and more. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, now we have full lines, Charles Franklin, so let's go to the phones. Jim in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joy. One of the things I think that needs to be pointed out is that we don't even know what Mary Burke's role in the outsource was. She could have not even made that decision within track. But the salient point here is the governor was charged and promised jobs, and he just failed at it. And the minute he gives our taxpayer money away, they go and outsource jobs down to people that don't even work in Wisconsin.
All right, thanks, Jim. I know that Mary Burke's brother, who is, I guess, the CEO of Trek, went after Governor Walker's campaign, saying that his sister did not have anything to do with the decision to outsource jobs.
That's right. And that is the statement from the Burke campaign and from the company. And, you know, so that's the position. And then the issue is, what about other companies? What about WEDIC, the Economic Development Board? What role should this question of guaranteeing keeping jobs in the state play? This is complicated. It doesn't lend itself very well to campaign discussion because it's easy to push to a strong conclusion, shall we say.
Yeah. So do our poll results tell us if we are holding Governor Walker's foot to the fire when it came to that campaign pledge?
Well, that is interesting because with 80% seeing us not reaching the 250,000 pledge, there's certainly a widespread recognition that we're falling short on that. On the other hand, as you would expect, Republicans say the pledge doesn't matter that much to them. Democrats say it matters very much to them. Independents, as usual, are somewhere in between. Here, I think campaigns are the way that you hold people responsible. It's waging a campaign that critiques that performance, or on the governor's side, waging a campaign that argues for why the performance that we have seen deserves reelection. I think there we have much more room for a debate from the two sides and for each to try to exploit those arguments.
Let's take another call from Kevin in Holman. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Joy. How you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How are you, Kevin?
Great. Hey, I love listening to your show. yeah, I just had one comment and then a question for Professor Franklin. My question is, Professor Franklin, do you think, can the governor be beat? And my comment is, I hope the people of Wisconsin wake up and let's get the governor out.
You did a little campaigning there, Kevin, but I guess that's permissible on this kind of show. But is Governor Walker possibly beatable?
Yeah, I think when you see our two polls in a row that show a tie, but we're not alone in that. The Republican-leaning Rasmussen poll showed a tie a few months ago in April, I believe it was. Another poll showed a tie in that period. So we don't have as much polling in the state as I wish we did have from a variety of organizations, but there are enough that all point to a close race, if not a dead tie, to show that this race, at this point at least, looks a lot more competitive than I think handicappers that just looked at an incumbent governor who had survived a recall and thought things would be sort of an easy roll to reelection. And the Washington handicappers that keep track of these things subjectively rather than looking only at the numbers have moved the race to very competitive or even toss-up status. So there's a lot of opinion out there that's beginning to see this race as a real barn burner.
I have one more call from Cliff in Appleton. Hi, Cliff.
Good morning. I think Mary Burke had no obligation to the Wisconsin voters as an executive threat. In her role as governor, I think she can deprioritize that. I think her defense could be more sophisticated in that she was responding to the company and the board of directors and stockholders, and she shouldn't be held to the same standard as a Wisconsin government official.
A quick react to that?
Yeah. Again, this goes, I think, to the issue of in business, are executives making decisions for economic imperatives versus in politics, are they responding to their base, to the needs of citizens and voters? A different kind of consideration.
One other poll result that we did not get to, we do support a hike in the minimum wage in Wisconsin?
Yes, and that's been pretty consistent, though it dropped a little bit. In March, 63% supported an increase in the wage. That's at 56% this time, so a little 7-point decline, but still a clear majority favoring an increase in the minimum wage.
Yeah. We still have a couple of minutes. Let's talk a little bit about Governor Walker himself is saying, hey, this is going to be a really close race. He's, talking to his
right.
supporters. He's acknowledging that he's in a tight one and wants to make sure that people get out and vote.
And again, this is actually a strategy that's good for both parties, because as important as turnout is, which we talked about earlier, mobilizing your base, getting them fired up, not to mention fundraising, being able to exploit the idea that it's a close, very competitive race is ironically good for both sides in terms of mobilizing supporters and bringing money into the campaign. The question here is campaigns are partly made by citizens and their circumstances and our opinions. They're also partly made by the strategies that the candidates use and exploit and whether they use those effectively or not. With the rather slow ramp up to full campaign mode, it's been a little slow to see what the overarching strategy of each side is going to be from now to November. With this first round of advertising, we're beginning to see the cards put on the table for the first time to really see what you have. The Burke campaign is arguing the Walker is not working for you. The Walker campaign started with an argument that said things are pretty good. It's morning again in Wisconsin. Things are better than they were 3 years ago, and is now pursuing the critique of Burke. One thing we didn't mention, 49% still aren't familiar with Mary Burke. That means that trying to define her through advertising is still important for both sides.
All right. Well, you're going to have another poll, Marquette poll, out at the end of August?
Later August, yes.
All right. We will, I'm sure, talk to you again then. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll and a professor of law and public policy. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Justin Williams for producing this program. Hey, for more election-related information, you can always go to wisconsinvote.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.